Amen. The Lord's good. Amen. Praise God. Good to see you. Hallelujah. Everybody doing good? Praise God. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, welcome to Wednesday night Bible study. Praise God. I enjoy Bible study, don't you? Yes. Glory to God. Amen. And we're glad that you're with us online. Praise God. From all parts of the world. Cleveland, Tennessee today is starting to be summer, I guess, a little bit. We're in the air conditioner all day, so I guess it seemed like we didn't have much spring. It's kind of like too much. I mean, we did and we didn't, you know. Anyway, praise God. Hallelujah. Good to see you. You ready for the Word of God?
Yes.
Amen. All right, we're going to begin in John chapter 3 tonight.
Amen.
Praise God. The third chapter of St. John, beginning with verse number 1. John 3. Praise God. Verse 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. And Jesus answered to him and said, Most assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Assuredly, I say unto you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and whence it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. And then, of course, verse number 16 says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Praise God. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, The Scriptures do not say you must be improved, but you must be born again. Amen. The new birth, or being born again, what we call being saved, is the rebirth of the human spirit. Praise God. See, you are not a body that has a soul or that has a mind, has a spirit. No, you are a spirit being. You know this. You are a spirit being. You have a mind and you live in a physical body. And when you get saved, your spirit is born again. It comes to life. Why does it have to be born again? Because it's dead. Amen. See, when we think of dead, we think of just not existing. Like physical death is you just cease to exist. But spiritual death, you know, a sinner is a spiritually dead person. And if somebody is a sinner, they are spiritually dead. In other words, they're walking around in their physical body, but they're spiritually dead, meaning they are separated from God. Ephesians says they are alienated from the life of God. Amen. They're dead in their sins. They're on their way to hell. They're actually a child of the devil. And so that's why you have to come alive. You have to be born again. Glory to God. You remember going, I was just thinking about this before we started in Genesis chapter 1. You don't have to turn there. But God said, But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, this is Genesis 2:17, But of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. In the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Well, Adam and Eve ate of that fruit. Did they die that day? But Jesus, the Word of God says, In the day that you eat it, you shall surely die. Did they die that day? Huh? Yeah, they died spiritually. They didn't die physically, but they did die spiritually. Amen. And so that's what he's talking about. You have to understand that. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, If anyone is in Christ is a term that means you're a Christian. A born-again person is in Christ. Praise God. You got saved. You're in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. What old things is he talking about that passed away? Your old spiritual nature. The spiritual nature of death, that passed away. Your spiritual nature died. Praise God. All things, behold, all things have become new. Glory to God. So in the new birth, your old spiritual nature, which was dead and alienated from God's life, died, and you were born again and given a new spiritual nature. Aren't you glad for that? See, you're not just a patched up sinner. You're not just renewed or restored. You didn't just turn over a new leaf. You didn't just decide to do better and to try harder. No, you became a brand new person. Glory to God, your old satanic sin nature that manifested itself in all kinds of wrong behavior died. Amen. And you were born again and given a new spiritual nature, and you were given eternal life. Everybody say life. Life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting or eternal life. We focus on the eternal part, but everybody is going to exist eternally. You're going to exist eternally being spiritually alive or spiritually dead when you die. It's dead. You know, sinners don't cease to exist. No, they die in their sins, and they will exist eternally, but they'll be separated from God and go to that awful place created for the devil and his angels called hell, because they're separated from God and never accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. But it says you shall receive life. Life is what we ought to focus on, not the eternal part. Life. Life in the Greek, as most of you know, is Z-O-E, which is Zoe. Everybody say Zoe. Zoe. That's a fun word, isn't it? Zoe, Zoe, glory to God. John 10:10, Jesus said, I have come that you might have life. Zoe, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. W.E. Vine's Expository Dictionary of New Testament Words says, Zoe means life in the absolute sense. Life. Life, it says, W.E. Vine's, as God has it. It's been defined, Zoe has been defined as the very life and nature of God himself. God came to give us life. Glory. And that's what we needed, because we were spiritually dead. We needed to come alive spiritually. See, a person is either spiritually dead, they are sinners by nature. It's their nature. They don't, that's why they sin, because it's their nature to do it. Amen. They're a spiritual child of the devil. This is what it means to be spiritually dead. You are a sinner. You're spiritually, the devil is your father. Amen. You're separated from God by sin. And that person is on their way to hell. So every person is either spiritually dead or they are spiritually alive. That means if you're spiritually alive, that means you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. You've been born again. Hallelujah. You're now saved. Your old spiritual nature passed away. Glory to God. And now you have life. You have Zoe. God's life and God's nature. His love is on the very inside of you. So you're a new person, new creation. Not just repaired, but brand new spiritually. Amen. This person has received a new heart, the Bible says. They've received a new heart. They received a new nature. They received life in the absolute sense. They received God's nature on the inside of them. That's what it means to be born again. Hallelujah. Amen. And so we're not just forgiven sinners trying to do better. A forgiven sinner can't do better. His nature's got to be changed. You know, you've heard the old saying, a leopard can't change his spots. I mean, he's still a leopard. Amen. But you see, and so a sinner just can't, you know, they might mask it. You might be a better, you know, you may not sin as much as the other guy, but, you know, who wants to be the nicest sinner in hell? You know? Get a trophy down there, because you had the best works as a sinner, but you still came up short, far short of God's glory. No, so we're not just forgiven sinners. We've been changed. Our natures have been changed. And because our natures have been changed, glory to God, that's why we can make it. That's the only way we could ever be truly free. You know, you could take an old mule. You know, mules are, you know, we don't want to give mules a bad name. They are bred. In other words, their nature is to do certain things. A mule is actually intelligent. They're very strong. They have stamina. And they're very sure-footed. So a mule is good for going on trails. A mule is good for rough terrain, mountainous terrain, because they're strong and so forth. But you don't want to put them in the Kentucky Derby, because they don't have a nature for that. Now you know, my pastor friend Don Atkins, you know, our good friend Don. Don lives right across the street from Kentucky Farms, his church. Kentucky Farms butt up against his church. I mean, where they have the racehorses. I mean, you see, you go, boy, that is some beautiful house. And they'll look at you and smile and say, that's the barn. I go, oh, I'm serious. And you know, like where their church is at, he said, you know, that horse barn. I mean, it's beautiful, But the backside of the church is this way, and the horse farm comes around, and there's a road over there, and it's 200 yards from the road. But they come over and planted giant trees. They asked Don, can we plant these giant trees just to hide the back of your church and the, you know, the air conditioners back there? And he goes, have at it. Because they got a lot of money, you know, on those horses. And so anyway, you could take an old mule, and you could polish his hooves, and you could feed him the finest hooves, and you could put him in the best stable, the best Kentucky stables they have, you know. You could let him walk on that blue grass and hire the best trainer in the world to work with him. You could take him to the horse track. You could take him to the Kentucky Derby. I don't think they'd let you, but you could take him to the Kentucky Derby, and you could put a world-class jockey on his back, and you could put him in the gate on race day, but when the gun goes off, he's going to run like a mule, because he is a mule. A mule's top-end speed of a really, really good one is about 15 miles an hour. A thoroughbred runs close to 45 miles an hour. And he couldn't, but he's going to run like a mule. I don't care if you treat him like a thoroughbred, because he's got mule life in him. That's his nature. He is a mule. Amen. By nature. Glory to God. But what they're bred for is wonderful. I like this example really a lot. I've used it over the years. You know, you could go to the pig pen and you can find you a really cute pen. I mean, not one of them great old big ones that weighs 500 pounds, but you could find you one, you know, that weighs about 120 pounds, just a real cute one, you know. That one's cute. Get him out of there. And you could give him a bath. And you could say, well, that ain't going to get it. Give him another bath. You could say, that ain't going to give it. Let's give him a third bath. And so you could bathe him three times, and then you could, you know, you could put some little clothes on him, put a little hat on him, maybe put a little tie around his neck, spray him with perfume, bring him into your formal dining room, set him at the table, and serve dinner, and you know what he'll do? He'll eat like a pig, because he is a pig. He has a pig nature, and that nature is going to come out, praise God. Glory to God. Amen. His pig life will come out. For him to be anything different, his nature would have to be changed. Well, thank God, our nature was changed. The more you know this, Jack, the more you understand this, the more you believe it, the more that nature will come out of you. We're not a sinner. I'm not an old sinner saved by grace. I used to be a sinner. I got saved by grace. Now I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I have a new nature, a new heart. I want to do the right thing. My desires changed. Glory to God. Now, I still have the flesh to deal with. We'll talk about that. But I've got a new heart, a new nature. And now we are able. Now, listen. Because our nature was changed, yes, you still have the flesh, and you can trip over your flesh, and you can let reasoning and worldly thinking dominate you and dominate your life, but you don't have to. You don't have to anymore. Because you've got a new nature. You can walk in the light of that new nature. And because of that new nature, you are truly able to walk in newness of life and live a truly godly life. Not just a life of rules and regulations and do's and don'ts and religious nonsense. You can truly walk with God in perfect fellowship with Him because you've been born again. Thank God I've been born again. Can you say amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. So when a person gets saved, that Zoe life can so affect them. You've seen it. It so affects people that sometimes we immediately see changes in a person's habits and conducts and speech. Criminals become law-abiding citizens. Thieves become honest people. Prostitutes become moral just instantly because they are so affected by that new birth. Hallelujah. And that new nature begins to manifest in people's outward behavior. Now let's look at this. Let's look at John 5:24. John talks a lot about Zoe, a lot about life. And in John 5:24, Jesus said, most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life. Everybody say Zoe. That's the word Zoe, life as God has it. Amen, absolute life. And shall not come into condemnation or judgment, but has passed from death unto life. See, as a sinner, you were spiritually dead. You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you pass from spiritual death unto life. Life comes on the inside of you. Zoe comes on the inside of you. In other words, those who were spiritually dead, I mentioned this a while ago, it's found in Ephesians 4:18. It says people, sinners, are alienated from the life of God. Amen. And so we pass from spiritual death over to spiritual life to Zoe. We're born again. We become new creatures in Christ. And all things, the Bible says, all things become new. Amen. Our heart changes. Our want to changes. Amen. But it doesn't take you too long to realize as a new creature. How many of you, when you got saved, it just seemed like certain wrong things in your life just disappeared? Can anybody say that? Sure. But how many of you can say there was an area in my life, or maybe there was a couple areas in my life that it just was still there bugging me? I can lift both hands on that one. So it doesn't take the Christian too long to realize. And at first, sometimes they're very confused about this. Some people live and die and stay confused about this, never understand. But you still have the fleshly nature that wants to do wrong. And you have to deal with that. Your fleshly nature has not been born again. Paul said, I, over in Corinthians, you know, he said, I, that's the real man, the real Paul, the spirit being. He said, I keep my body under. You ever stop to think about that, what that means? That means his body, his fleshly nature, wanted to do some things that his heart resented. And he said, so I have to keep it under and bring it into subjection. And the Bible talks about crucifying the flesh. You know, crucify is it's an ugly word. Crucify is a torturous word. It's a harsh word. And you can have 1,000 devils cast out of you, but if you don't learn to let your inner man dominate you, and you don't renew your mind to the truth of God's word, and you don't learn to crucify your own flesh daily, then you will not walk in freedom. Because the spirit is what's born again. Your mind can be renewed and cannot get, it won't give you any trouble if you'll renew your mind to the scriptures. It won't give you any other trouble. You still have to deal with it, but it won't give you trouble. But your flesh is always going to want to do the wrong thing. We're not going to get we're going to have that as long as we're alive on this earth. And so you have to learn to deal with your flesh and to crucify your flesh and to put your flesh under. Amen. Glory to God. And so it doesn't take the new Christian, the new being in Christ, to realize he has the flesh to deal with. And he realizes that his mind still wants to think thoughts that are worldly and wrong. Does it ever surprise you, you know, because you react the wrong way so quickly sometimes? You know, geez, that was embarrassing. that's because the flesh is there. Amen. So we have to learn to let the new nature and the Word of God dominate our lives. Oh, glory to God. We must allow the inner man to dominate the outer man. We must allow the life of God that's on the inside of us and the love of God that's on the inside of us come out and control us and dominate us. We must learn to walk in the light of life. I want to say that again. We must learn to walk in the light of life. And if we don't learn to walk in the light of life, we may live a defeated life. We may live a condemned life. We may live a carnal life. So how are we going to do that? Well, number one, we have to know, and I'm talking about not just head knowledge. You have to get a revelation knowledge that is a born-again Christian. You have to realize that the life that you've got God's life and nature on the inside of you. You are not the person you used to be. I know it seems like you are sometimes, and it feels like you are sometimes, and the devil will say you are sometimes, but that is a lie. According to the Word of God, you have been born again. You received eternal life. You received the nature of God, and you are a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. You have to get revelation knowledge of that. You have to believe that with all your heart. So you have to know it, you have to believe it, and you have to confess that God's nature is in me, God's ability is in me, God's life is on the inside of me, holy desires are on the inside of me. My spirit doesn't want to do the wrong thing. My spirit always wants to do the right thing. My spirit wants to follow God. My spirit is hungry for God. My spirit wants to go to church. My spirit wants to help other people. My spirit is not selfish. My spirit is always loving and kind. My spirit is always patient with people. That new nature on the inside, you have to know that. You have to believe that. You can't walk in the light of it unless you really, really know it and believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. And so you have to say that and say it and say it, even when it doesn't seem like it's true. Then, only then, will that nature begin to shine through and dominate our lives in everyday reality. Glory to God. John 10:10, you know it well. Jesus said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and kill and destroy, but I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly." I've come that you might have life. Everybody say life.
Life.
Zoe. I have come. This is the reason I came, to give you life. Because if you die as a sinner, if you die spiritually dead, if you die without this life, you're going to hell. If you die, if you don't have this life, you can never fellowship with God. That's the way you were created. You can never experience all the blessings that God wanted man to have in the garden. You know, so Jesus said the purpose, the reason I came was to give you life and to give it to you more abundantly. Not just abundantly, but more abundantly. And you look that up in the Greek, that means I've come to give you a superabundance of this life. I've come to give you an overflowing measure of this life. I've come to give you a full surplus of this life. Amen. More abundantly. Abundant life. Praise God. Hallelujah. A lot of churches like ours are called Abundant Life Church or Abundant Life Fellowship because that's so important. Amen. So he says, I've come to give you Zoe. What does that mean? I've come to give you an abundance of life in the absolute sense. Zoe. I've come to give you life as God has it. I've come to give you an abundance of the God kind of life. I've come to give you spiritual life that is not bound or controlled by the devil or any sin. I've come to give you life that's not condemned. I've come to give you spiritual life that knows no sickness, no lack, no mental disorders, and no anxiety of any kind. I've come that you might have this life and that you might have it more abundantly. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, glory to God. Hallelujah. So Jesus said, God wants you. This is the way God intended it to be from the very beginning, and that's why I came. But as always, everybody say, as always. We have to appropriate this or any other blessing by faith. Well, you can't appropriate what you don't know about. And even if you do know about it, it's got to be revelation knowledge, not just head knowledge. And then to appropriate it, you got to understand how to take it by faith. You know, because some people, for instance, with healing, they don't know that healing belongs to them. But even if they know that healing belongs to them, they don't know how to take that healing by faith. So you have to believe that this life is in you. I think it's Ms. C. Newsom, it might have been Dr. Yeomans in her books, but one of them said this, he said, you have to believe that the holy things of God are in you when you can't find one of them. See, you believe that it's in there, because it is, because according to the Word of God, you've been born again. So you believe that it's in you, and that it's God's will for you to experience it in everyday reality. That's step one to walking in the light of this life. Amen. All right, let's look at 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Are you with me? I know you know a lot of these things, but boy, it just thrills me to talk about these things. Hallelujah. 2 Peter. Chapter 2. Or first, 2 Peter 1. I've got 2, but it's 1. 2 Peter 1, 2. 2 Peter 1, 2 says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Now watch this. As His divine power has, this is something that's already been done, His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Praise God. You want to escape the corruption that's in the world? You want to walk in abundant life? Glory to God. Then gain knowledge of the truths of God's Word that are often revealed to us through the promises of God. take hold of those promises, believe those promises, and when you do in everyday reality, you become a partaker of the divine nature and you experience that life of God on the inside of you in everyday reality. Can you say amen? So just to say it another way, I was looking at Andrew Womack's commentary today, and he said, Peter was saying that everything we need comes through knowledge. That's because Jesus has already given us everything we could ever need when we were born again. We don't need to get something new. We just need a revelation of what we already have in Christ. Prosperity is already given. We just need to learn the laws that govern God's prosperity and cooperate with them. Healing has already been deposited on the inside of us. We have the same raising from the dead power that raised Jesus from the dead. We don't need any more power. We just need to acknowledge that we have what God says we have and then learn how to use it. The knowledge of God has given us all the promises of the Word of God for the purpose of allowing us to partake of God's divine nature. What a deal. What a deal. Everybody say, what a deal. So the Bible is filled with wonderful promises. Can you say amen? Glory to God. It tells us that as Christians, that's why you hear so many people, wonderful Bible teacher like Sherry and so many others teach on in Christ. In Christ is this is what is yours. This is what belongs to you. This is what you have. This is who you are. And this is what you can do. For instance, sometimes it'll say in him, we have, in him we are redeemed. Glory to God. That's something that is a present tense reality because you've been born again and you've got God's life and nature on the inside of you. But you have to believe it. And so the Word of God tells us we're redeemed. We're more than conquerors. We're not condemned. We can do all things. We're righteous and much, 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 much more. Praise God. But then why are there so many weak Christians and so many defeated Christians and so many condemned Christians and so many broke Christians and so many sick Christians? I mean, as a lifestyle. Because they've never learned to walk in the light of this Zoe life that's in them. They've never understood what really happened to them when they were born again. They've never understood that the promises of God are real and true, but you have to appropriate them by faith. It's only when we know the truth and confess the truth and act on the truth that we actually experience in everyday life the life of God that is already on the inside of us. And the more you realize it, the more it's going to shine through and help you overcome in life. And so the way that you walk in the light of life, the way that you walk in the light of Zoe, is to know the truth and act on it in faith. I want to say that again. The way that you walk in the light of life, the way that you walk in the light of this Zoe life is to know the truth and act on it in faith. Glory to God. Now, let me just give you some short, these are real short, some short commentary from Brother Hagin along these same scriptures we're talking about, because sometimes people will say it in a different way. So using some of these same scriptures that I'm using tonight, let's just read a couple of things he said here. Just in these are real short. Some of these stories he tells on this, when he tells them live, he'd take up half this book, but these are real short. So this is, why did Jesus come? Quotes John 10:10. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. We use that scripture. Why did Jesus come? Did Jesus come to give us some creed to live by? Did he come to give us a code of ethics, a list of do's and don'ts to straighten us out? Did he come to start a new religion or to found a new church? No. Jesus came for one purpose, that we might have life and that we might have it more abundantly. The word life is the biggest word of the gospel. Man needed life because he was spiritually dead. Spiritual death, which is the nature of the devil, was imparted to man at the fall of man when Adam sinned. The eradication of this devil nature is what God has worked toward in all the ages. It was the reason why Jesus came to the earth. Jesus stated, I've come that they might have life. The only thing that will meet man's need is the nature of God, eternal life. Nothing can take its place. When a person receives eternal life, he receives the nature of God, the life of God into himself. This is the divine act that changes a man from the family of Satan into the family of God instantly. Can you say amen? And then he quotes 2 Peter 1:4, whereby we just read that, whereby given us exceeding great and precious promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. And he says, when you become a child of God, God imparted his own nature, eternal life, to you. This life, this nature, this being, this substance of God instantly changed your spirit. You pass out of spiritual death, the realm of Satan, into life, which is the realm of God. You pass out of the dominion of Satan into the dominion of Christ. When you received eternal life, the old satanic nature passed out of you. The corruption which you have escaped is spiritual death, which is the satanic nature. The satanic nature passed out of you, not theoretically, but actually. 2 Corinthians 5:17 states, old things have passed away and God's nature came into you. Now you are partaker of God's divine nature, the nature of God, the life of God. Oh, glory to God. Can you say amen? And then one other quick short one here. He quotes John 5:24. You know, we read that. He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life, Zoe, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death into life. Hath. You've got eternal life now. You're not going to get it when you get to heaven. You've got Zoe now. But if you don't know about this Zoe life, see, if you don't know about this Zoe life, if you don't know what it is or how to walk in the light of it, you'll never be able to enjoy the realities of it. You can have something in the natural and not know you have it, and it won't do any good. For example, sometime before Christmas of 1947, I decided to put away a little money from my wife's gift. I started by putting a $20 bill in the secret compartment of my billfold. Then I forgot all about it. A few weeks later, I ran out of gas. I didn't have any money to buy any gas, so I had to call one of the deacons of the church to come and get me. Sometime later, I was going through my billfold and found that $20. Now, you couldn't really say I didn't have the money when I ran out of gas. I had it, but I didn't do it, so it didn't do me any good. You know this, but full of God's life, abundant life, Zoe life, but not really aware of it. Don't know that you have it, and so it doesn't do you any good. God gave us his word so we can find out what we have, and what we have is eternal life, and then we need to walk in the light of it. Amen. John 1:4, very interesting. Listen to this. Let's turn there and look at it. John 1:4. Like I said, John emphasizes Zoe life. He emphasizes life and light. And in John 1:4, John said, in him, that's in Jesus, was life, and the life was the light of man. In him was life, Zoe, same word, and the life, Zoe, was the light of man. So that this life is in us, this Zoe life, abundant life, the God kind of life, life in the fullest sense, absolute life, the nature of God is in us. Now watch this, and this life was the light of men. Everybody say light. In other words, his life enlightens us. It develops us. His life brings us out of darkness. His life, the light of this life brings us out of darkness. It brings us out of sin. It brings us out of defeat. It brings us out of ignorance. It brings us out of impoverished living. It brings us out of disadvantaged living. It brings us out of enfeebled living. It brings us out of disabled living, and it brings us into the God quality of life, into a rich, blessed, abundant, healthy type of living. It's the light that this life, amen, was the light. We've been lightened. We've been delivered from sin, defeat, all these horrible things, and brought into rich, blessed, abundant living. Oh, glory to God. Can you say amen? And then another story. This comes from Brother Hagin because this is so good. He says, this is the greatest miracle I've ever seen along these lines. In other words, this is the greatest miracle, he says, I've ever seen when it comes to somebody receiving the life of God and how that life instantly changes a person, and how that if that person, you know, because you're instantly changed spiritually, but if you'll believe that you have this life and develop this life and let the walk in the light of this life and let it develop you and let it do for you what it's designed to do, then he said, this is the greatest example I've ever seen of it instantly changing somebody and somebody letting that life change them radically. And so he says, one of my Sunday school teachers told me, concerning her oldest child, because he saw her, you know, in church every week. He said, I sent her to school 7 years in the first grade. She couldn't even learn to write her name. The school authorities finally said that I should take her out of school because she was, you know, 13 years old, still in the first grade. She was a big 14-year-old girl playing with little 7-year-olds, so they had to take her out of school. They had no state school. We're talking about the 1930s, the Depression days. They had no special classes. The only kind of school they had in Texas was one for the feeble-minded children. She didn't even qualify for that. See, in church, he said, she acted like a 3 or 4-year-old, just like a 3 or 4-year-old kid. She's 14 years old. She had about that kind of mentality. If she happened to not be sitting with her mother and wanted to get to her where her mother was, she would get down and scoot along on her stomach under the pews to get up front. I mean, you might see a little kid do that, you know. Or, amen, she would actually, just walk over the pews in her dress. And when she would get to her mother, she would stretch out just like a kid and go to sleep. One night, she went to the altar. Nobody asked her to do it during a revival. And she knelt along with the others. And there she received eternal life, the nature of God. Instantly, there was a drastic change. Before, she wouldn't bathe. If she got neglected, like any 2 or 3-year-old, her appearance was pitiful. She would come to church looking like she hadn't combed her hair in a month. It looked like the rats had slept in it, and what clothes she had were hanging on her. But overnight, after she got saved, the very next night she came in and sat down and acted as intelligent as any 18-year-old young lady. Her hair was fixed, she was dressed up, and she looked nice. You could hardly believe what you saw. It changed her. It increased this girl's mentality 90% overnight. Hallelujah. You know, the life of God will make you smart if you'll let it. But it ain't going to make you smart if you go around talking about how stupid you are and how you can't do anything and how you know, poor mouthing and I can't do that and I can't do that. No, you ought to believe because of the life of God's on the inside of you that you can do anything. This was during World War II. She went away to visit some relatives, and while she was there, she acted so nice and looked so nice that a neighboring farm boy asked her for a date. She had never had a date in her life, but he began to date her and like her, and she began to like him. They did hurry it up a bit because he got drafted and he asked her to marry her. She took him up on it. He eventually was sent over to the European theater of warfare, still not knowing she couldn't even write him a letter. She stayed with his mother. He wrote and said, Mama, teach her to write. Teach her to write. I love you. I would rather get a letter from her that said, I love you, signed by her, than for you to write several pages of what she told you to write. So her mother-in-law taught her to write. Then she came back to live with her mother. I remember her mother said to me one night, Brother Hagin, I want to show you an 8-page letter she has written to her husband by herself. I read the letter. She told him how much she loved him and then talked about some of the business. To tell the truth, it was better than some letters I've read from college graduates. I only saw 2 words misspelled. It was a good letter. She told him, I'm saving our money, because he was getting an allotment. I'm paying my tithes. And she was. You could stop to take up an offering on something, and she had already paid her tithes to the church. She would always say, Brother Hagin, I'll give. She would be the first one to give. You get the nature of God in you, and it changes you. She told her husband, I'm putting our money in savings, drawing interest, so when you get out, maybe we'll have enough money to buy a farm. He was a farm boy and only had about a 5th grade education himself, so she thought maybe he would want to farm. Where did she get all that wisdom? From the life of God on the inside of her. Her younger sister was married to a boy in the Navy. She had the highest IQ of anyone in school. She had gotten saved too, but she didn't walk in the light of life. The light is the life of man. You've got to walk in the light of life for it to benefit you. The light is the life of man. You can really say it both ways. The life of man is the light, and the light is the life of man. Brother Hagin says, you've got to walk in the light of light for it to benefit. It won't do you a bit of good if you don't walk in the light of it. She splurged her money. Her husband was coming home on furlough, and she said to her older sister, don't tell him how much money you've got, because I don't have a dime. We left that church before the war was over and went out into the evangelistic field. I heard that the older sister's husband had come back and decided he wanted to go into construction work instead of farming. He used the money his wife had saved, this girl that so drastically was changed, that his wife had saved to buy some gravel trucks. They prospered in their business. Then I heard he was suddenly killed in an accident. In the process of time, I got back there and was talking to the church secretary. I said, whatever happened to that girl? She took me by the arm and led me out in the front porch. She said, you know that her husband was killed in an accident? I said, yes. She said, well, because of the business, he was heavily insured, and she received several hundreds of thousands of dollars of insurance money. She pointed out and said, see that addition? I could see a number of new houses. The secretary said, she's building that whole addition to the city. She handles all her own money. She's her own financier, her own contractor. And she said, every Sunday morning, she pays her tithes. She puts all her offerings into the church. She is always on the front pew with her three children. They're the best dressed, cleanest, most manicured children in the church, the best behaved children in the church. This is one of the greatest miracles I have ever seen. Receiving eternal life and walking in the light of it was what made all the difference. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So in everyday practice, what does this look like? In everyday practice, how does it feel? Well, you got to put the Word of God first place in your life. Put the Word of God first. Put Jesus number one in your life. Don't let anything interfere with that ever, ever, ever. I know temptations come along sometimes to get involved in this and get involved in that, or to make money, or to, you know, fish or whatever. Be a thousand different things. But always put the Word of God. Always put Jesus first place in your life. And believe what He says about you and not what your feelings or mind tell you. I said, believe what He says about you and not what your feelings are. I mean, when you find something in the Word of God and it tells you that you can do something, then you latch on to that and don't ever let go of it. I mean, when I see something in this Bible for myself and I read it in context and I see there's other scriptures that say the same thing, then bless God, that settles it for me. That's a done deal. That's the way it is. If God says I have something, then bless God, I have it. I don't care what my mind says. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what my flesh says. I don't care what religion says. That's what I have. If God says, that He's already provided something for me, then I have it. I'm not trying to get it. It's mine right now. I have it right now. Faith doesn't put it off into the future. Faith says it's mine right now. So put Jesus first. Put His Word first place. Put out all other words. Believe what He says about you, not what your feelings tell about you. And whatever the Word says about you, confess that over your life. Confess that you have what God says what you have. Confess that you are who God says you are. And confess that you can do what God says you can do. My mind might scream at me and yell at me and I might have messed up 14 times last week and tell you you're just, God probably can't even stand you and you're no good and you're unworthy. But the Word of God says I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I've repented. My sins are under the blood. Praise God. I've been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And amen. I mean, I might use up a lot of His blood, but there's plenty to go around. Glory to God, and I am redeemed. I don't care what the devil says. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm going to say what God says about me. That means you don't confess weakness. That means you don't confess fear. That means you don't confess shame and guilt and sickness and I can't and lack and inabilities. You don't say things about yourself or about your situation that contradicts what God's Word says about you. And I don't care how many years you've been doing this. We all live in the natural. We all have the flesh. We all have the devil to contend with. We all have worldly thoughts come to our mind. And if you're not careful, you'll find yourself just agreeing with the world, just acting like everybody else. Just saying things about yourself that oh man, that always hurts. No, it doesn't. Because by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then act like the Bible's true. Most importantly, you act like it's true. So walk in the light of life. Walk in the light of the nature of God that is on the inside of you. Say, the life of God is on the inside of me. Amen. Then that life, the more you believe that, the more you walk in the light of it, the more you act on it, the more you say it, then it'll begin to help you and change your outward behavior, glory to God, and your outward way of living. Can you say amen? Stand up with me, praise God. Everybody stand up with me. Say it out loud. Say, the life of God has been imparted to my spirit. I'm alive unto God. And I will let that life, the nature of God that's in me, I will let that dominate me. God's ability is in me. God's nature is in me. God's life is in me. God's love is in me. God's wisdom is in me. I'm a partaker of His divine nature. For me to fail, God would have to fail. And God never fails. Glory to God. Now just shout about that a little bit and thank God of it. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen, 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 amen. This message might come under a reminder, but a reminder is good, isn't it? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Well, everybody say the Lord is good. Amen. God, you're a good-looking group. God bless you. We love you. We love you. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful evening.